I'm at the archery range. I had little field tips on my arrows. I shot my bow and arrow for about an hour. Put them in the back of the truck, drove home. Got to the house, took the bow and arrows out of the back of the truck, and I'm walking up the driveway, and right there is one of my son's old basketballs just laying in the dirt. And I thought to myself, wonder if a fella could shoot an arrow through a basketball. I took an arrow, I drew back. Okay, y'all, I could have done this 10,000 times and I'd have popped that basketball. But because I had field tips on my arrows, when the arrow hit the basketball, it hit one of the seams so perfectly, the arrow shot straight back up and the knock laid my cheek open right here. I got a flap of skin hanging, I'm bleeding, I walk in the house and Gail's like, what the hell? I said, his basketball was right there. You know what? You tell me what grown man wouldn't have looked at that basketball and thought to himself, I wonder if I could shoot an arrow through a basketball. She goes, I'll tell you who, Bill. Nobody. Nobody but you. You're like a 9-year-old. I swear to God, you're going to put me in a home. And I'm like, do you think we could finish this later? Because I'm feeling a little lightheaded right now. So she gives me a dish towel. I'm holding this flap of skin against my face. It's soaked with blood. She's driving me to the hospital. Of course, the whole way there is just... And I kept thinking, why couldn't the arrow have hit me in the ear? We get to the hospital. I walk through the emergency room doors and I hear, good God, the dumbest man on the planet is back. You are putting my kids through college. It's like where we live right now, behind our house is about a 40, 50-acre plot of woods. And beyond that's another neighborhood, but I don't know those folks. Probably for their benefit. But my next-door neighbor on the other side, Luke, he puts a game camera out in the woods behind our house, and he takes pictures of the deer and elk and bear that walk by, and then he posts it on his Facebook page. Well, one night, I got an idea. I thought it'd be funny if I got a Bigfoot outfit. Come on, that's genius. I'd get that Bigfoot outfit and walk in front of his game camera like. Just to be there when he's going through his pictures, he goes, yeah, that's an elk, that's a bear, there's Bigfoot, there's, oh my God! Well, what we've learned here tonight is that when I get an idea, I don't really think it through. I just kind of roll with it. So I went into town, went to the costume shop, but they did not have a Bigfoot outfit. I know. But they did have a movie quality Batman outfit. And I remember thinking, that is a gift from God right there. How much funnier would that be? He's flipping through his pictures and there's Batman? Hell yes. And this thing was awesome. It had the cape, the mask, the little eyepieces, the shorts, the tool belt, the tights, the boots, everything, gloves. And so I wanted to do it at night. So the picture was kind of grainy, so he couldn't really see it was me. Last June, I'm sitting in my den, 6 o'clock in the evening, dressed as Batman. And Gail walked by. And I could tell by the look on her face, she did not comprehend what was about to go down. And she said, are you going to tell me? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. I said, you know how Luke puts that game camera in the woods behind now? She goes, yeah. I go, I thought it'd be funny if I got a Bigfoot outfit. And she goes, Bill, no. And I go, I went to town. They did not have a Bigfoot outfit. She goes, thank God. I said, but they had this bitchy Batman outfit. And I remember thinking, how much funny would that be? He's flipping through his pictures and there's Batman. Yeah, that's going to be funny. She goes, Bill, no. I go, listen, I know funny. It's my job. On a funny scale, 1 to 10, 30. She goes, I can't talk you out of this, can I? I go, nope. She goes, okay. She goes, but wait a minute. It's only 6. It don't get dark for a couple hours. Why are you dressed like Batman now? I said, good question. And I think this is a good opportunity for us to be honest. Who has not wanted to have sex with Batman? And she goes, okay, not only no, but hell no. I said, why not? And she goes, I'll be happy to tell you why not. She said, let's say we do this. And I kind of get into it. She goes, where does it stop? I said, I don't follow you. She goes, yes, you do. Because if I say yes to this, you'll be out there buying Green Lantern outfits. You'll be buying Spider-Man outfits. You're going to want me dressed like Catwoman. And the whole time I'm sitting there thinking, I ain't really heard a reason not to yet. Well, that didn't happen. Well, it gets dark and I book it out in the woods. Well, I get out in the middle of these pitch black woods and the thought occurs to me, I don't really know where Luke's game camera is. So now I'm just a grown man dressed like Batman in the woods in the middle of the night. This is a news story waiting to happen. Well, you know when you get out in the woods and it's dark and you start hearing things and your mind starts playing tricks on you? I start flipping out. I'm like, oh, my God, Bill, this is bad, 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 bad. What if you get killed by a mountain lion? What if a pack of wolves tears you in half? How are they going to tell your kids?
But black folks, I know one thing about us. Horror movies to us are learning manuals. For real, when we watch a horror movie, that's all we fucking need. We didn't need to go experience the shit. We watching the fucking movie, and we know that we ain't supposed to do that shit. For real, like Jason, we watched Jason, part 3, Friday 13th. We ain't go camping. Ain't nobody go camping. Ain't nobody fucking, we don't need to. Go on out there if you want to, motherfucker. Jason gonna fuck your ass up. And I thank white folks for that. They teach us a lot of shit. Because black people are not inquisitive. Somebody come up missing, Charles gone. He must have had to do something. We need to look for him. Fuck Charles. He didn't tell us where he was going. Ain't no reason to look for him. Apparently we wasn't invited. I'm scary as shit. I sleep with my gun on the nightstand. I don't play that shit. My wife wake me up in the middle of the street. Baby, wake up. I hear somebody downstairs. I pull my gun out. Pow, 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 pow. Shoot through the floor. What the fuck you doing? You say you heard somebody downstairs. Well, I'm sure they heard that. That could have been one of the kids. He could have came in here and said he's about to go downstairs. Fuck, you think I'm gonna get out of my safe ass bed to walk down there to get fucked up? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. I believe in Jesus. I love Jesus to death. I hope he come back. When he come back, he come and get me. But I'm a little worried. Because I read in the Bible, he said he coming like a thief in the night. And I like, shit. Don't fuck up, Jesus. Please don't fuck up. My child. Pow! Pow, pow, pow! I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. Why you didn't just call me or something? Did I get you? Can you heal thyself? Why you ask me why I shot you? You know me better than I know myself. You know what kind of motherfucker I am? I remember when that movie Candyman came out. Remember Candyman? Remember, we were teenagers when Candyman came out. Black folks were scared of motherfucking Candyman. But me and my cousin, the guys on my Uncle Weed, right? And we was walking around tomorrow. Man, I heard that motherfucking movie Candyman was based on a true story, dog. That shit for real, motherfucker. I'm telling you right now. Man, I said, man, shut your stupid ass up. Ain't no coming out no mirror. Shit, all right. Go on and go in that motherfucking mirror, say his name 5 times, and see don't he fuck your ass up. Whoever said the most, win $10, all right? Bet, fuck that. Candy man. Candy man. Man. Told you, motherfucker, he ain't coming. You ain't say it 5 times. Shit, he ain't coming the first 3 times. Guess he ain't home. Move your punk ass out of the way. I knew you was scared. No, I ain't. Well, he go up there, he go, my boy, cuz he come up there, he got gang shit. Fuck this motherfucker. Candyman, Candyman. Candy motherfucking man. Man candy. I said, don't fuck up and the gay ghost come through there and rape all of us. He said, yeah, y'all ain't saying no 4 times. I said it 4 times, get it $10. I said, motherfucker, you didn't say it 4 times. You said man candy, shit, that's still candy man backwards, fuck that. Give him that $10. I said, all right, he won the $10. He talking all shit, y'all some bitches. Y'all bitches, those scary motherfuckers. Later on that night, that motherfucker got in a deep ass sleep. I got under the bed, and I grabbed that motherfucker's leg. Did you call me that? When I tell you that motherfucker shit all other bed and ran out of house, he ain't been over our house since. I'm 48 years old. Hey, man, you coming by and say what's up? Man, I would, man. So busy now. Still scared.
My dad wasn't even afraid of dogs. We had to cut through this field one time, and this Rottweiler showed up with a head the size of a bowling ball, balls. I never forgot it. It was literally trying to get at us through the fence, like, no, 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 just foaming at the mouth. And I was like, oh, my God. We'll just walk around, obviously. I start walking, and my father goes, what are you doing? And I was like, well, I'm going to walk around, of course, because there's a black lion here screaming, fuck you, in dog. Well, my father goes, no, we'll cut through. It's faster. I was like, I know, but again, we're not crows, and is what they use to guard the gates of hell, so it was just, we'll just go around. And my father, he couldn't get it. I knew he was gonna fight the dog. I knew, and I've never been more afraid. I was like, please don't fight this dog, please don't fight me. They bite so hard, I'll do anything, I'll carry you, anything. And my father gets in that dog's face, he just bends down right in the dog's face, and he goes like this, I'll give you one chance. And he blew in that dog's face. Whatever his satanic energy, I don't know. That dog backed up and sat down sideways. I don't know what that means in dog. Obviously, it means ye may pass, so dark one. My dad opens the gate. The dog is right there. He goes, come on. Man, I stuck to him like a pilot fish on a shark. I was touching him. I was touching him walking across. And I was 28 years old. It's just not in my nature. It's unbelievable. He's a good guy, though. Like, he cared about the world. He had no prejudice, my father. None. He cared about everybody. And he would always read us things about how bad the world was. He'd ruin your day. He'd be opening presents on Christmas. On Christmas, he'd be reading some book, like Bloodlands or whatever, and he'd just look at me and go, you know, in the Ukraine in the 30s, a period of about 5 years, even less, about 8.5 million people died of starvation. Had to eat each other. Enjoy your presents. It's unbelievable that way, man. And one day he was reading, we tell the story a lot. He's reading the newspaper, and it's brunch, Sunday brunch, 19 people outside, beautiful, dogs barking, sun, everything. And he's reading the newspaper, and he starts giggling. He's like, and he goes, look at this. A grown man in Colorado was attacked and killed by a mountain lion. Yes. My father goes, pussy. So I couldn't let it go. I was like, I'm so sorry to interrupt your Sunday reading. Are you under the impression that a mountain lion couldn't kill you? And my father goes, that's a stupid question. I was like, why is that a stupid question? And he goes, because first of all, a mountain lion isn't a real lion. And second of all, a mountain lion would never dare to attack me. And I was like, really? And how do you know that? And he goes, I don't know that. It knows that. Dead serious. Dead serious, man.
So with that said, we go on our event. We're going to see a concert. And we're going to see Metallica live. Now, yeah, I totally tricked my wife. You know, I played the slow song.
Nothing else, man.
Oh, I like that song. It's not so scary.
Yeah, see? They changed. They evolved.
So we get to the show, all right? And we get there. We sit out. I forget. I'm domesticated now. She's like, is there a brochure? I'm like, all right. We're looking around the stadium, brochure, whatever. Now, here's when you know you're too old to be going to concerts. First of all, the name of the bands is already a tragic mistake. Here's the opener. So you ready for this? Just the names. Anthrax, Megadeth, and Slayer. Okay, all right. Did you hear? All right. You hear that? Let me tell you something about Slayer fans. That was the scariest time of my life when the Slayer fans showed up. That's the first time I feared my own race. I'm not even kidding you. I feared my own race. They look like the extras from Lord of the Rings. Right before Slayer came out, someone came out and...
Release the Slayer fans.
And they came out of nowhere, under the ground, tattooing their faces.
Slayer! Slayer! We're here to witness Slayer!
And I'm hovering my wife, like, everything's gonna be okay. We're only gonna be on for like 15 minutes.
Slayer, Slayer!
We're gonna be safe. So Slayer's about to go on right before Metallica. The lights go out. Now, I forget I'm domesticated, so when the lights go out of show, I still get that giddy feeling. Show starting. Because I'm used to, you know, Beauty and the Beast.
Why are they so mean to the Beast? They don't get better, Daddy.
So the lights go out, and I hear, is there a train coming? And I turn around, and there's about 500 Slayer fans, and they're heading right for the stage, and they're not using the aisles to get there. Chairs are being flung, people flying up in the air. I looked at my wife like, every man for himself. We're doomed, I'll see you on the other side. I get run over. I'm 45 years old, and this crowd knocks me down. By the way, not one Slayer fan said, excuse me. So I'm on the floor. Now, listen, when you're 20, 25 years old, you get knocked to the floor, you get right up. And you might even get a cheap shot of, hey, what's the problem? But I'm 45. You know, I take cardio kickboxing with soccer moms, and I rock it at 7 a.m. Kick, punch, punch. But kick, punch, punch, uppercut. But I'm a Slayer. I'm down, and I can't get up. So every time I get up, another guy takes me. And they keep coming by me, and I turn around. I get knocked down again. But now, I have responsibilities. So while I'm fearing for my life and trying to get up, I'm texting the babysitter
It's going to be a little later than I anticipated. Please apologize to your mother for me. Now, I finally get up, and I'm in a tsunami of humans. And I end up about 3 feet from the stage. I didn't ask for these seats. And the Slayer starts.
Someone's getting sacrificed tonight. Most likely it'll be you.
With me? Is he talking to me? He's talking to me. Oh, it's so crowded that my feet aren't touching the ground. So when the crowd moved, I have no control where I'm going. So I guess we'll watch this guy for a while. Okay, we're done with this guy. This guy's great. You guys know the stage is that way, right? I'm just saying. Took me about 15 minutes to finally get back to my seats. My wife's still missing to this day. I don't know where she's at.
This is a pretty amazing time to be here. It's probably the greatest time to be on this planet. It really is. We are very lucky people. But we don't always feel that way. We always feel freaked out all the time because we're the first generation of people who's had to watch news 24 hours a day. No other human being has had to watch a nonstop horror show of other people's problems. It's too much. You got to turn it off. It'll make you sick. You got to treat the news like a call home to your parents. Shorter the better. Right? You call and make it short. He's like, oh, they tell you something weird your dad did with a jar of mayonnaise. And I love you. I love you. You hang up. How are they? They're good. They're good. They're doing just fine. Because it skews our thinking. This is an amazing time to be here. You know, we're the people of the 21st century. The 21st century. That's a pretty amazing thing. But we have to own it. We have to own it. We got to let the past go. We got to make some changes. No more post office. It's time to shut it down. I can send a picture of my testicles to all of Russia from my phone. Shut it down. Who's communicating like this anymore? I've got to get a message to my friend in Virginia. Get me some paper and my writing sticks. Dear Mortimer, send help immediately. How are we going to get it there? I know. Let's give it to the weirdo in the blue uniform who wanders the neighborhood and stares at the children too long. He'll know what to do with it. Shut it down. Have you been inside a post office lately? Even the people who work in the post office can't believe it's still open. It's like a haunted Scooby-Doo warehouse at this point. Everything's covered in spider webs, old machinery run by enslaved Oompa Loompas. You get to the front of the line, they look at you like you're selling something, you just walked into their apartment. What the hell are you doing here? I want to send this to my Nana. And they go into a list of stuff they can't do for you. Well, I can't send it wrapped like that. I can't let you pay with that credit card. I can't make eye contact with you when I'm talking to you. I can't stop eating Funyuns when I'm at work. Shut it down. While we're at it, no more change. No more disease-infested coins. It's 2013. I can go to Starbucks with my iPhone and buy things like Captain Kirk with a phaser, just pointing at stuff. I'll take a latte. Pshoom! I'll take a scone. Pshoom, pshoom! Why are we walking around like leprechauns with pockets filled with golden trinkets? Jingle jangling down the city streets, teasing the homeless. Why? You run your errands, you have to wear a belt just to keep your pants up from all the treasure you're going to accumulate from your Magic Mario Brothers adventure. Because they love giving it out. Nothing ends on the dollar amount, right? 515, bling, bling, bling. 629, bling, bling, bling. You ever get 99 cents change? That's a big F you, isn't it? Because you know they don't have to do it. You don't have to do it. You're going to do it? Aren't you hilarious? Thank you very much. This will be all over my bedroom floor when I take my pants off tonight.
How's your guys' pandemic going? Is it good? It's as good as it's going to get, right? It's been pretty good. It's been, I don't know, it's good. This is my first pandemic, actually, so I have nothing to compare it to, but so far it seems pretty good. I guess we're hitting our second wave, so that's kind of fun. It's sort of sad because the news at this point is just begging. They're just like, whatever it takes, just don't be, wear your mask, please. And we're like, actually, we finished the pandemic early. Yeah, we're already done. We did it already, thank you. And you're like, you don't get how they work. Oh no, we do, we'll be okay. We get it. It'll be great. I don't know, it's a different world. And I'm just trying to figure out how to do it right. Like, I just wanna keep all the rules, like the grocery store floor rules. Those are new, and you gotta keep them. Keep the rules on the floor. Don't go the wrong way. That's how it spreads. Don't go the wrong way, the Cheerios will know. COVID only spreads if you go north to south. It's just, when they showed up, I didn't know what to do, because I was like, but I just want the peanut butter right there. I can touch it. I see it, and I want it. It's for me. And they're like, if you want the peanut butter that's right there, don't go down that aisle. Just go down that aisle right next door. Go down all the way to the end by the milk and come on back. Just go all the way down. Come on back, and you'll stand 2 feet from where you were, but then you can touch it. And that's safer. Okay, I'll do that. And I follow the rules in the grocery store. I wander around like this little rat in the maze. And sometimes other people don't follow the rules. And that is, when you step into an aisle and there's someone going the wrong way, what do you do, right? Oh, the tension in that moment. Do you get all preachy? Here's what happens, is it actually becomes much like a Western standoff. Just you and them, and you just kind of square up to them, and you can hear the music in your head, just woo woo wah, wah, wah. And it's even more Western, because you both have bandanas on, and you're just, ooh. It's even more Wild West, because you both have bandanas on, and you look at them and they look at you, and you just say, there ain't 6 feet enough for the both of us. And who gets the aisle, right? It's whoever's quickest on the draw. The Wild West hasn't changed. It's whoever can be like, the fastest. If you can be like, and they, they go, okay, you got it, Mr. COVID. And you get to have the aisle. That's my favorite part, is if you see someone else, you just make eye contact with them and just be like, yeah, I don't care. How bad do you want that Hidden Valley Ranch? I'm crazy and I'm out. You just go for it. Crazy world. That's not true at all. I'm not brave enough to cough in public right now. Could you imagine coughing in public in 2020? I had that happen to me. I went to Chili's, I don't mean to brag, but comedy, it's affording me that. Go to Chili's, right? I order the queso, yeah, living it up. But I ate a chip, and it immediately got stuck in my throat. And it became clear that I was gonna have to cough in public during the pandemic. And I just was freaking out, just. And they're like, do you have to cough, sir? No. You sure you don't have to cough? I wouldn't dare. Not in 2020. I'm just going to die, though. Is that okay? If I just die right here, I'll just die, and your store seems safer if I die. And I'd die, and there would be my body, you know, just, and they'd be like, what did he die of? And they were like, COVID, I guess. And they'd just step over. So, not everything about COVID is sad. I mean, there's some good, like, to be honest, you've got an excuse for anything you don't want to attend. Just right there. I use it all the time. And I have no doubt, if I'm honest with myself, I'm going to be using this until 2030 for parties I don't want to go to. You're going to be like, hey, can you come to my get-together? Can you come to our baby gender reveal? Oh, no, I got a tickle in my throat. Can't make it. Oh, but they have a vaccine now, Steve. It's 2030. I got a cheap one. Yeah, it's not good. You don't want to. I use it now. Does anybody use it now? Are you guys, do you use it as an excuse? Like, I'm like, I can't go to church this week. I think I got a tickle in my throat. Might be the virus, you know? And they're like, oh, Steve, it's online. It's on Zoom. Don't worry. Oh, yeah, my laptop has a virus, too. And it's... Yeah. Either way, it's dangerous.
And I love horror movies, you know, that's where I grew up on. Do you love horror movies? Yeah. You have a favorite horror movie?
Get Out.
I like Pretty Woman. You thought I said horror. Understandable, no. I like Get Out. Have you ever seen Blackula? Blackula is fantastic. 1972, William Marshall plays Blackula. The first scene in Blackula, Dracula bites a black guy. This is easily anticipated if you know the name of the movie you're watching. And then Dracula goes, I christen you Blackula. And they cut. And I wish they would just hold it for 5 more seconds. So you could hear Blackula go, ha, ha, ha. What the fuck did you say my name was? Just to watch Dracula backpedal. Look, as the king of vampires, I come from a position of privilege that I clearly didn't take into consideration when I made that joke, which is not indicative of my feelings in any way. I won't even eat Count Chocula. Like, I'm committed. I want you to know my truth. That's what this is about. And then all the bros with podcasts will drag Dracula for backpedaling to Blackula.
Can't go to double down on that all the time. You gotta just double down. That's the problem. There's no real men anymore. But for all you real men listening, here's a commercial for a pill that will give you a boner.
All the podcasts dedicated to the resurgence of the alpha male are paid for by pills that give you a boner. I still get my own boners. Like some kind of pussy. I like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That's a great horror movie. Yeah. Great title. Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Then again, after Texas Chainsaw kind of writes itself. Texas Chainsaw Bake Off is not going anywhere. Texas is just one of those states. You put it in front of some. It's like Tennessee. You put Tennessee in front of any activity, and it becomes a sex move. Went home late last night, woke up the wife, tried a Tennessee car wash. How'd that go? Well, I'm staying with my brother for a couple of days. I think she'll calm down.
Should have warned her. Speaking of sex moves, I got married about a year and a half ago. Thank you. Yeah, it was great. Yeah, thank you very much. It was, it's my second marriage. My second marriage. I'd been married before. And I thought marriage is such a sacred, holy, once-in-a-lifetime thing. Let's do it again. But even though it was my second marriage, it was my wife's first. So you still got to go all in. You know, you can't cheap out. You can't do the Forrest Gump, six people in the backyard. You're spending money. You're spending money. But even though it's her first time and it's a big deal, you've done it. It is the second time on the roller coaster. It's like, are you scared? No, it goes up and down and around and dancing and cake. It's fine. It's not a big deal. That's what they do. We're gathered together before God. No, I know. Yeah, it's very good. Yeah. With the ring and the cake and the tea. Yeah. Till death do you part. No. Sure thing, boss. Whatever you say. Whatever makes you happy, boss. That's what they say. Till death do you part. That's just God's way of saying, I can get you out of this. It's a little extreme. The way I see it, I didn't get divorced. I cheated death. Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler. The definition of evil. Waged war on humanity for 6 years. And then, in his bunker, wed Eva Braun. And the next morning, blew his brains out. Marriage is hard. What did she say?
You call this a bunker? My sister's bunker, that's a bunker. Now you go in there and you really know you're in a bunker. And maybe I'd like your sister's bunker.
Charles Manson. Charles Manson was in prison for life. And at the end of his life, a young woman wanted to marry him. And at the last minute, he backed out. This is true. He was in prison for life. But he valued his freedom. My father-in-law made a big speech at our wedding. I did not know he could talk. We'd had several conversations about the wedding, and whenever it got to that point where he might have said something like, hey, Dana, why don't I pay for that?